If you've got your Bibles, turn with us over to the book of 2 Kings. 2 Kings chapter 3. If you would stand for the reading of God's word. 2 Kings chapter 3. Starting at verse 1. The Bible said, "Now Jehoram, the son of Ahab, began to reign over Israel in Samaria, the 18th year of Jehoshaphat, king of Judah. And he reigned 12 years, and he wrought evil in the sight of the Lord. But not like his father and like his mother, for he put away the image of Baal that his father had made. Nevertheless, he cleaved unto the sin of Jeroboam, the son of Nebat, which made Israel to sin. He departed not therefrom. And Mesha, king of Moab, was a sheep master and rendered unto the king of Israel 100,000 lambs and 100,000 rams with the wool. But it came to pass when Ahab was dead that the king of Moab rebelled against the king of Israel. The king of Jehoram went out of Samaria the same time and numbered all Israel. And he went and sent to Jehoshaphat, the king of Judah, saying, The king of Moab hath rebelled against me. Wilt thou go with me against Moab to battle? And he said, I will go up. I am as thou art, my people as thy people, and my horses as thy horses. And he said, Which way shall we go up? And he answered, The way through the wilderness of Edom. So the king of Israel went, and the king of Judah, and the king of Edom. And they fetched a compass of 7 days' journey, and there was no water for the host, for the cattle that followed them. And the king of Israel said, Alas, that the Lord hath called these three kings together to deliver them into the hand of Moab. But Jehoshaphat said, Is there not here a prophet of the Lord that we may inquire of the Lord by him? And one of the king of Israel's servants answered and said, Here is Elisha, the son of Shaphat, which poured water on the hands of Elijah. And Jehoshaphat said, The word of the Lord is with him. So the king of Israel and Jehoshaphat and the king of Edom went down to him. And Elisha said unto the king of Israel, What have I to do with thee? Get thee to the prophets of thy father and to the prophets of thy mother. And the king of Israel said unto him, Nay, for the Lord hath called these three kings together to deliver them into the hand of Moab. And Elisha said, As the Lord of the host liveth, behold, whom I stand, surely were it not that I regard the presence of Jehoshaphat, the king of Judah, I would not look toward thee, nor see thee. But now bring me a minstrel. And it came to pass, when the minstrel played, that the hand of the Lord came upon him. And he said, Thus saith the Lord, Make this valley full of ditches. For thus saith the Lord, Ye shall not see wind, neither shall ye see rain. Yet that the valley shall be filled with water, that ye may drink both ye and your cattle and your beasts. And this is but a light thing in the sight of the Lord. He will deliver the Moabites also into your hand. And I believe that be all that we read this morning. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, we come to you once again this morning. We thank you, Lord, for the good songs of Zion, Lord, we was able to hear. We thank you, Lord, for the choir. And Lord, we heard the youth, Lord, as we was down in our study this morning singing some of their songs. Lord, we thank you, Lord, for them. Lord, there's some, Lord, that called this morning dealing with sickness. Lord, Brother DB and Sister Pam, Brother Tony and Sister Vicky. And Lord, we pray that you be with these that's dealing with sickness. Lord, others, Lord, that may be not here today, that we know not the reason, but Lord, I pray that you'd go wherever they're at and visit them. Lord, touch them, give them that they stand in need of. I pray, God, today you'd send that that we need, Lord, across this congregation. I thank you, Lord, for every member and visitor alike, Lord, that's come. into this building, Lord, to worship you in spirit and in truth. Lord, I pray you continue being with our president and the leaders of our country. Lord, I pray, Lord, you'd move across this country, Lord, the great division that's seemingly going on amongst the people in this land. Lord, seem like half want the ways of the world and the other half wants things to go back the way they used to be. And God, I pray, Lord, we'd do our best, Lord, let our light shine to a lost and dying world. The only way we'll find unity, again, never full unity, but be able to see hearts change, is to win one person at a time. And God, I pray, Lord, that you'd be with those, again, that's making decisions. Lord, give them the wisdom they stand in need of. Lord, most of all, Lord, in this building today, if there's one that's not saved, Lord, we sure would like to see them make that commitment, Lord, to come and profess their sins, Lord, before you. And Lord, call out on your name and ask you, Lord, to save them, Lord, by your marvelous grace. And Lord, for us that's already been saved, I pray we'd come together. Lord, pray for these that are lost in our midst and other needs. And God, I pray, Lord, we'd do our best, Lord, to live a life that's pleasing unto you. And Lord, to be found, Lord, working in the vineyard, Lord, till Jesus comes. I thank you, Lord, for all your many blessings on our family and our home. Thank you, Lord, for all the good friends, Lord, that you give us. And I pray, God, Lord, you bless all of our pastor brethren today as they stand. Lord, give them that they stand in need of. Let us, Lord, hear of good news, Lord, for these other churches. And Lord, anything's accomplished, we'll do our best to bind where they head. Give you the praise and honor and the glory for it all. For us in Jesus' name, we do humbly pray. Amen and amen. When I begin to read this morning, this is very familiar scripture to anyone that reads the Bible on a regular basis, where we're talking about King Ahab and his wife Jezebel. Even though her name wasn't mentioned here in this passage of scripture, their son Jehoram has become the king of Israel here. And you know, when you think about as a young man, as they begin to take the reins, if you'd have it, to be a king over the children of Israel, he is raised in a household where his daddy didn't think much of God, neither that of his mother. They worship Baal, and they worship false gods. And you know, something that I've learned, Brother Tony, since I've been in the ministry, is everybody wasn't raised in a good Christian home, amen. If you're just raised in a good Christian home, you've got something to be thankful for. You've got something to praise the Lord for, that you had somebody to teach you the Bible and to teach you the truth, amen. But Jehoram didn't have that. No, he didn't. He had a dad and a mom that worshiped Baal. And all these things went on in the land. Now we'll find here, the Bible said that in verse 2 it said, and he wrought evil in the sight of the Lord, but not like his father and like his mother. He put away the image of Baal that his father had made. You know, the thing that was different about Jehoram, that was different from his mother and his father, he still allowed evil to go on in the land. That's something that we allow to go on today. There's people allowing evil to go on in the United States, yet they're not doing the evil themselves, but they're not doing anything about the evil that's taking place, amen. Now what I think about Ahab and Jezebel, they was worshipers of Baal, but not Jehoram. He wasn't a worshiper of Baal. But even though he wasn't worshiping Baal, he didn't quite get rid of it. He allowed that kind of worship to still go on. That's where America is today. We are one nation under God. Amen. This is a Christian nation. Amen. Let me say it again. This is a Christian nation. Amen. But the difference is, in days gone by, our leaders wouldn't put up with other gods being mentioned in this land. But we've lived into a day where people's allowed things to go on even when they disagree with it. Amen. That's where we're at. We got a bunch of Jehorams. They won't get involved in that kind of lifestyle.
but they're okay with letting other people live that kind of lifestyle. You better be assured and hear me well. If you're one of these that says, well, I wouldn't live no gay lifestyle, but each for his own. It don't bother me. And this and that. And trying to be friends with people and won't tell them it's a sin. There's a difference in loving somebody and condoning what they're doing. Amen. And if we allow these things to stay in our country and continue to progress, it will affect our churches. It already has. It will affect our schools. It will affect our children. And it'll affect what they believe, amen. I'm telling you, I'm not for bombing something that I disagree with. You hear what I'm telling you? And I'm not in starting war over something. Amen. As far as in our country, if somebody wants to live a different lifestyle, but this junk that has went on, and I ain't said much about it, and I didn't know I was going to get in it this morning. But boys wanting to be girls and girls wanting to be boys and going to these other bathrooms, this is all the confusion. It comes up when people don't take a stand against these things. If God made you a boy, act like a boy. If God made you a girl, look like a girl. Dress like a girl. If God would have wanted you to be somebody else, He would have made you that. Amen. Accept who you are and be the best you can be. Amen. Oh, Jehoram, we've got a lot of confusion going on in our land. It's really sad to see some of the kids and what they have to put up with in homes. And let me just say this, the television ain't helping things a bit. You can't have any show now that ain't got somebody on it gay. You can't have any talk show unless somebody wants to throw that in there. Amen. And they want to throw mixed marriage in. And they want to push God out. Amen. They want God to be separated from the government. Amen. Let me just say something real quick. Amen. The writers of the Constitution and the forefathers of our country wasn't trying to keep God out of the government. If you'll search it out, there's all Christians. They're trying to keep the government out of the church. Amen. Praise the Lord. We need Christians in leadership and in our government. And if our country has a hope and a chance, we're going to have to stay with God, amen. Yes, we are. The Bible said that Jehoram here said, nevertheless, he clave unto the sons of Nebat, amen, which made Israel to sin, and he departed not therefore. And King of Moab was a sheep herd, and he rendered unto the king of Israel 100,000 lambs and 100,000 rams with the wool. I've got to study a little bit about this, and a lot of times we don't really understand in different places of the world things that we don't get involved in, Brother Mather. But I know this for a fact, that in New York and in places where there's gangsters, this has been a well-known fact. There's stores that pays money to them so that everybody will leave them alone. To sort of like be an overseer or an overruler of them, if you'd have it. And this is what was going on. The king was paying 100,000 sheep, amen, and wools of rams to that the this country, amen, of Israel. But the thing about it was this, amen, once the king had died, the king of Moab, Amen. And when the Bible said it came to pass when Ahab was dead that the king of Moab rebelled against him. And so Moab was paying a tribute, if you'd have it, to Ahab. And once Ahab died and Jehoram took reign, they said, you know what? This would be a good opportunity to let him know we're not going to pay anymore. Amen. That we're not going to go along with this anymore. Let me just say this. If you're in something that's not right that you shouldn't be doing, the first chance that you see an opening that you could get out, you need to take it, amen. You need to take it and get out of it. But in this particular instance, a lot of people don't know much about Moab. You know, Moab was a picture of the world. Did you know the Bible said God... Moab was God's washpot. Amen. Why would God say that the world or Moab was his washpot? I'm glad you asked. When God washed me up and cleaned me up, I was in the world. Amen. Thank you, Lord. And the things in my life was in the world. And God came down here in the world. He left the splendor of heaven. He left the glory of his Father to come to this earth and walk a sinless life, die for the sins of mankind. And every time a sinner walks out, God cleans them up in Moab. Amen. Praise the Lord. Whether you know it or not, he cleaned you up, Moab. Some of you still need to be cleaned. Jesus, and I ain't talking about just lost people neither, Brother Mallory. As we walk in this world, we get dirty. Yes, we do. Peter was talking to the Lord, and the Lord was girding himself with a towel when he was getting ready to wash Peter's feet. And Peter said, Lord, you're not going to wash my feet now. That was the dirtiest part of Peter. Jesus knew his feet needed to be washed. It was a custom. You know, the only difference in what was going on here was that usually a servant washed the feet. Usually one of the lower members that was present washed the feet. But here was a man they left their jobs for. Here was a man that claimed to be the Son of God. Here was a man that John said that was going to take away the sin of the world. And he lowered himself down as a servant and begin to wash the disciples' feet. Amen. You ever had the Lord just wash you real good? Peter said, Lord, you know, and a lot of times this is where we are at. The Holy Spirit comes through and begins to get our attention, and the Lord says, you're dirty. You need to come to altar so I can clean you up and wash you with the word. And you know what we say, Lord, I don't need to go to the altar. I'm fine. I'm not that dirty this morning. And we act like Peter. And then the Lord, he said, Peter, if you don't let me wash you up, you'll have no part with me. Now, this is something that a lot of people don't get on in touch. But you know what he was saying? He said, Peter, I don't want to have a fellowship with somebody that's dirty. He said, you need to be clean, boy. And until you get clean, it's going to cause a division between me and you. You know what Peter said? He didn't say, Lord, don't wash my feet again. You know what he said? Lord, start from my head and wash me all the way to my feet. Peter wanted to be right with the Lord. Amen. How many of us wants to be right with the Lord enough? We'd be willing to let him clean us up this morning. So they got together, the three kings, Israel, Judah, and Edom. They joined forces to go against Moab for his rebellion. And I'm going to tell you something you're going to find in this world. There's a lot of groups that likes to join forces against God's people. I don't care what channel you watch, 2, 5, or 11, 46, or 17, or anything else. I like 5 better than all of them, but every once in a while on every channel, you'll find somebody that'll say, well, that's just no place for the Lord. That's no place for this. Christianity this and Christianity that. And they'll get where they slander against God's people. I told somebody, when's the last time? You know, nobody was telling the news about the Burlington revivals going up in North Carolina. But as soon as a pastor does something wrong to children or a church, if something goes wrong, every channel wants to show it, amen. Now I'm going to tell you what we need to do. Every time they do that, I call down there and say, I want to tell you, I don't appreciate you smearing Christianity on your channel. I'm one of your watchers, and I don't like it. You know that's what's the problem with America right now? Nobody speaks up for nothing. I know for a fact there was a store up in Indiana, Brother Maller, where the store owner had put some nasty magazines down right in the aisle where your bubble gum and your candy was at. And they was down real low where the kids could get a hold of them and see them. And one little boy was going through there and he picked the magazine up to realize that there was some nudity on the magazine. And his mother got upset. And she had a right to. Can I get amen there? And so she said something. She said, I need to see the manager. And they called him out there and she said, I don't appreciate you putting these magazines down there where the kids could get a hold of them. She said, I know it's your store and you can sell what you want to. I'm not trying to tell you what you can or can't sell. She said, but I wish you'd move them. And you know what he said? This was his reply. He didn't say, thank you for bringing to my attention. This was his reply. He said, well, ma'am, it don't seem to be bothering anybody else in the community. You're the only one that has said something. Amen. And so as far as I'm concerned, the magazines are going to stay right where they're sitting. Amen. That only lasted about 2 days. Thank God for a good preacher. Thank you, Brother Tony. I wasn't even talking about myself and only got one or two amens on that one. She went back to her church. She was upset, and her preacher could tell she was upset. And he said, something bothering you? She said, yeah, there is. She told him, Brother Darrell, about what was going on down in the store and what had happened. And he said, why didn't you bring that to my attention yesterday? That shouldn't have waited till today. It happened on a Saturday. And he noticed that her countenance was different on Sunday morning. Right before church now, he took the pulpit. He climbed up in the pulpit. And he said, let me just make something very clear right now. He said, John Smith's store right up the road here is selling dirty magazines. And one of our members went in there. And to our shame and disgrace, we're right up the road from the store. And nobody has said nothing about the magazine except for one mama in this church. He said, I better not see nobody go by there and buy nothing again until this gets resolved. He said, we'll bring charges up against you in church for supporting a junk like that. Now, a lot of people didn't like it to start with, but let me tell you what happened. It wasn't but one day. He got wind up and he didn't have no customers. That church runs about 30,000 people, and that little store was hurting. Amen. And that store owner called the preacher and said, I heard you said something in the pulpit about nobody shopping my store anymore. He said, I sure did, and I ain't going to apologize. I might say something about it next Sunday. You know what he said, Brother Matt, is what the store owner said. He said, well, I didn't mean to offend y'all people. He said, well, you did. You offended one of my little sheep, and it got me riled up. Now I'm going to do something about it. He said, I'm going to put you out of business. That's my intentions. And all of a sudden that man started, well, I'm backing up. He said, not only will I move in magazines, but if you'll promise me that you'll send your people back down here, I won't even sell them magazines no more. Amen. And within 2 days, he had pulled them dirty magazines off the rack. They made a difference because one mama was willing to say something. Amen. How many times do you see something that's not godly and we don't say anything about it? Well, it's not our business. We shouldn't get involved. Let me tell you something. If it's affecting your kids and your grandchildren, it is your business. If it's affecting my church members, it is my business. If it affects Welcome Grove Baptist Church, it's my business. Now, the devil would say it ain't my business, and I'm going to make it my business. You know why? He don't like resistance. The devil wants to run his agenda with no withstand against him. But it ain't going to happen. I'll tell you what, I like that old song that Sister Nancy sings, "We Got the Power in the Name of Jesus." Like a mighty army, we're still pressing forward. Amen. I think some of them went back home. Thank God for some of them stayed by the stuff. And I'm in that little remnant still headed toward the battle. Amen. I ain't going to hold you long. I know we talked a lot this morning before starting of this service. But I want to get on in this real quick. So one of them, they realized that they had got these three kings together and all their people together, and they had a good cause, and they're pressing forward to do something about this on the king of Moab, to find out all of a sudden they had a bigger problem. They didn't have no water. You know, a lot of times, Brother Matt, we'll try to figure things out on our own. They didn't inquire of the Lord if they need to get these three kings together. They didn't inquire of the Lord if they need to get these men together to go do anything. They just thought it'd be a good thing to build a coalition to go against the king of Moab. How many of you, and I ain't going to get you to raise your hand, have had something come up in your life and you pull your wife against, so I'll tell you what, we'll do this and this and this, and then by Wednesday we'll do this, and then a check will come in Friday, and I believe everything will be all right. Friday comes and this and this and this didn't work and didn't happen, nothing's worked out, and you're in a bigger mess Friday than you was Tuesday when you tried to figure it out. And then you know what we do? Well, so I'll tell you what we need to do. We need to pray. That's where we messed up. We forgot to ask the Lord what He wants us to do. And I'm going to tell you something, whether you're a man of God, a deacon, a good Christian, good daddy, good mama, every one of us gets busy a lot of times where we make decisions based on our intelligence and things that we think would be good or bad a lot of times, and never inquire of the Lord what God wants us to do. Amen. So one of them said, well, is there a man of God anywhere around here? Just coincidence, Elisha was not too far away. Somebody said, yes, Elisha was here, the same man that put water on Elijah's hands. You know what that means? They said, the man that was Elijah's servant is nearby. He's a man of God. We can go talk to him. He began to look at them men. And he just made a statement like this. He said, if it hadn't been for Jehoshaphat, I don't even know that I'd even talk to y'all fellas. Israel and Judah and Edom had come down there and talked to the man of God, and Jehoram was the king of Israel. And he was the one Elisha had the biggest problem with because he was still allowing Baal worship. You hear what I'm saying now? Don't forget Ahab, his successor, the one that he had learned from, that was the one that Ahab and Jezebel give the biggest trouble to. Remember, he was hid off in the cave one day because Jezebel was looking for him to kill him. So Elisha said, if it wasn't for Jehoshaphat, I wouldn't even have seen your face today. You know, there's been a few times, I'm not going to tell you the whole circumstance, but there's been times in my life where people wanted to talk to me about something and I didn't have nothing else to say. There wasn't no need meeting together. Times wasn't no need trying to hash it out or talk about it. They knew where I stood. I knew where they stood. And they just ain't no need to talk about it. But then somebody else would call and say, well, Brother Jeff, if I went, would you go? Or Brother Jeff, would you go for me? Would you sit down over there and just be there with me? And I have made these statements exactly to this point. I'd say, if you're going to go, I'll go. If you want me to go with you, I'll go with you. But if it wasn't for you, I wouldn't be going. I'm going to tell you something. There's a lot of times that I go and do things because I love my wife and I love my kids. There's a lot of times I go places because I love my church and I love the Lord. It ain't always up to us on when we want to go, what we want to do. We go because there's a purpose and a reason that's driving us to go. And he gave them some advice. He said, "They said we got a problem. He said that we got all these people together and get ready to go to war. We ain't got any water." He said somebody said we need to come get the band of God. He said, "Well, I tell you what I want you to do. Go get a musician." That ought to put a smile on some of our musicians in here today. He said, "Before I'm going to say anything, I need somebody to go get somebody and play some music and bring them down here so they can play something for me." David was like that. Some of you remember they got him to come and play before the king. The king was very angry and his heart was settled down where he could think clearly. And Elisha said the same thing. He said, "I want somebody to go get a musician." He listened to that musician play. When he got done, he said, "I'll tell you what I want y'all to do." He said, "I want y'all to go down in the valley and I want you to dig some ditches." He said, "You're not going to see the wind blow and you're not going to see the rain come." He said, "But God's going to fill that valley full of water." You know what really got me stirred up? Not so much about this. You know, a lot of you leave today and say, "Who was that? Jehoram and Jehoshaphat and what was going on in the king of Edom? And what in the world has that got to do with me working this week? And I was upset this past week when I burnt my dress and the dryer won't work and the refrigerator ain't working." And I mean, who cares about Jehoshaphat? That's what the majority of church members, they leave and say, "Who was he preaching about again?" Unless we're preaching about David or Abraham or somebody everybody's well equipped with, we'll preach about the king of Edom. Or we'll preach about Moab or Jehoshaphat, Brother Dale, or Ahab or Jezebel. And a lot of times people leave and say, I didn't quite get what he was trying to tell me this morning. But you know what I liked at the end of this story right here, the very last verse there that I read? He said, "This is just going to be a light thing for the Lord to do." The problems that seem so big in your life with your children and your grandchildren, and the problems with your cars and the problems with your jobs, I tell you what, I can relate with every one of you. I mean, the refrigerator won't work. By the time you get it fixed, three cars won't crank and you're having to borrow a vehicle. I mean, that is called life, where we're dealing with problems, amen. But your big, huge problems, they're nothing to the Lord. It's but a light thing. You know what that means? When I looked up a light thing, it said, "This is just an easy thing to the Lord." This is just an easy thing to the Lord that you've asked today. I wonder who's here today that would like to dig a ditch so God could fill it with some water. Before the blessings come, somebody had to dig a ditch. Somebody might say, "Boy, I wish we could have good old shout meetings again." Then dig a ditch. It ain't hard for God to send shouters over here. "Boy, I wish we could have good old singings on Saturday night again." Then dig a ditch. It's not hard for God to get a singing going in our church if that's what we want. I wish me and my wife could, you know, seem like we've been at one another here lately. It's a lot of the stress running. I know she loves me and I love him. But I wish God would just show us how we could get things back where they used to be. Dig a ditch. You know, I've seen families that I didn't think there was no hope of them getting back together, and I've seen God put them back together. I know one pastor today, right now, that his wife left him and went and stayed with somebody else 20-something years ago. And God worked it out and they got back together and they're still together today. And he's a pastor of a church, and if I told most of you who he was, you wouldn't believe me. It'd shock you. Somebody dug a ditch. Somebody dug a ditch. Now there'll be your skeptics, they'll say, "Dig a ditch." Didn't the Bible say if you dig a ditch, that the blind lead the blind, they both fall in the ditch? We don't need no more ditches. That's usually what you get when the word of the Lord comes through. You're always going to have somebody on Satan's side that's got something to say. But I'm going to tell you something. We need to dig a ditch. Do you hear me? We need to dig a ditch. The Bible said this, and then I'll be quiet. Said they dug ditches that filled that whole valley full of ditches. There's no way one man dug a ditch. Even the leader wasn't the only one digging ditches. I believe them people got busy, Brother Mallory, digging ditches. And God sent the water. And he filled it, and it wasn't by rain. See, that's what's amazing. When we think about how God's going to do something, God don't got to do it like we think it's got to be done. God, the thing about it, to amaze us, Brother Brandon, if God said, Jeff, you'll just set me a cup on the pulpit, the wind's not going to blow it off and you're not going to see no rain, but the next time you see that cup, it's going to be full of water. A lot of you in here would say, I don't believe that. We're in a building. How in the world would water get in there? I believe God could call somebody to come by here and not even know why, and there'd be cups sitting there. Why is that cup sitting there? I mean, they left the water in the pitcher. I'm just going to go ahead and fill that thing up. And not even know why. One of the favorite stories I like to hear Brother Harold tell, he wanted to get off of working on Sundays. And he started praying about it. And his boss said, well, Harold, if we do that, everybody's going to want off on Sundays. He said, but I'll tell you what, if you get a petition together and you can get everybody to sign that petition, then I'll let you off on Sunday if ain't nobody got a problem with it. And Brother Nick, everybody signed a petition except for one guy. This is usually the way it works. And he told Brother Harold, he said, I'm not signing that petition. He said, what makes you think you're better than me? Why should you be off on Sunday? And I got to work Sunday, and I'm not signing any petition. Several weeks went by. Brother Harold said he didn't even talk to that guy no more about signing that petition. He said one day walked in the warehouse, walked in the building at work, and that fellow was sitting over and he said, Weatherford. Harold said, he looked over there, he said, come here. He walked over, he said, you still got that piece of paper? You just trying to get me to sign? He said, I do, it's right here in my pocket. He pulled it out, he said, give it to him. He said, I don't know why I'm going to sign this thing. I don't even know right now why I'm signing this thing, but I'm going to. And he signed it, and he got off on Sundays, and he could go preach on Sundays. I know why he signed it. God made him want to sign it. I want to come get a verse of song. Some's already praying. It's nobody's business what you're going through, what problems you're facing. You might be sitting there and saying, why am I going to come pray about the refrigerator? When the service man said that it's dead, there ain't nothing you can do about it, it can't be fixed. God can fix it. Now, I'll tell you how much of a believer I am, Brother Mike. I remember one Sunday sitting in a car for 30 minutes, hearing my mom go, wim, 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 and the car wouldn't crank. And I remember her praying, too, and saying, Lord, if you'd just let us get to church, we'd run out of gas and was by ourselves, my mom and four kids on the side of the road. I remember her laying her head down on the steering wheel and she started praying. The very next time she hit that key, that thing fired up. We drove all the way to church. It didn't putt. It didn't spatter. I didn't think we was barely going to make it. We went all the way. You might say, well, I don't believe that. I don't care if you believe it or not. I was there. God filled a gas tank and I never seen him come by with a gas can. You can ask Daniel Lawrence. When I first come to this church, was out here and his truck wouldn't crank. Sister Nancy, and the Lord made a believer out of me. You know, we talk a lot of things. Sometimes we don't want to do nothing about it. And I looked at it and I said, I can't figure it out. And he said, I've looked at everything. I said, I'm not much of a mechanic. And he said, well, I'm just going to have to call somebody to tow it. And I'll never forget. I told him, I said, look, we've tried everything else. Let's just pray. I said, let me pray. And he goes, yeah. And he's laughing, smiling. And I didn't say much at first. I really was playing with him. But, you know, I thought, well, it ain't going to hurt to pray. And I laid my hand on that engine. I reached over in there and I laid my hand on that engine. I seen a smirk on his face. We've talked about a lot of times since. He ain't never laughed since then. But I laid my hand over there on that mantle, right on top of that engine. I said, God, I know you're able. I don't know what's wrong with this engine and why it won't crank. But if you'd just let this engine start up so he can get this thing home so we ain't got to get it towed, I'd appreciate it. In Jesus' name. It was that short. It was maybe 10-second prayer. I looked at him. I said, well, try it. And he goes, all right. And he walked back around the car and he hit that thing like that. And I said, you're welcome. Like I had done something. I didn't do nothing. It was the Lord. It's not a hard thing for God to crank a car. And it's not a hard thing for God to do what you need him to do. He said, we have not because we ask not. And I hope and pray I ain't went too long this morning. But I want us to rise to our feet and I want you to be honest with yourself. What is it that you need God's help with this morning? What is it that you need to pray about? That's not a hard thing to the Lord to take care of that need in your life. It's just a light thing that you're coming to pray about. We're talking about the God of heaven, the God of the universe, taking care of the needs of little humble people in this world. Come on, Brother Nick, whatever verse of song y'all got on your heart.